Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy here on Monday night. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I'll be your host, and I'm calling in from New York City. And I am joined by my co-host, Diane Mallett, who's in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hello. Hi, Nicole. I'm doing good today. Beautiful, great. Beautiful day in Boston.
Nice. Yes, beautiful day here as well. Very interesting energy, though. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Between the eclipse and the full moon we had on Friday in the moon of Aries, and then today is the beginning of Mercury retrograde. So I definitely am feeling the energies, and it seems like the best way to deal with it is to just flow with it, however the flow can happen. How do you feel?
Oh, it's definitely been a crazy day. I feel like I've been tripping over myself all day long. But when I just stop doing things and relax a minute, I'm much better off. So this is especially when Mercury goes retrograde, I just want to slow it down because nothing's going to get done anyway. So you just might as well just keep chugging along with the things that you need to do. But the full moon was absolutely beautiful, and I love the energy of Aries and the excitement and the just fun that comes with the energies of Aries. So it was good that the eclipse was in that. So I liked that. And with you being in Aries, I'm sure it affected you tremendously. I can, you know, and you're actually a Mercury child, Mercury retrograde child. So we'll talk about that later, but I can't wait to see a little bit more about that. That's a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah, we'll jump right into that. I just want to do our moment of silence. And I figure for this time, I'd like to take a moment for us all to just ground ourselves, which is a wonderful thing to do as often as possible. And whenever you feel the energy around you or your own energy going a little, this is a nice little quick, easy thing to do. So let's all relax and close our eyes and release the thoughts of the day and picture a white light in the center of our solar plexus, and then surround ourselves with that white light. Feel what that feels like, the beautiful loving energy from the universe and the creator. And you feel that energy, and then I like to have a being that goes from that center of myself up to a star. I usually pick the Pleiades or Sirius or any star or planet that you feel connected to, and have my light go up. The light goes up and envelops that planet and then comes back down to our solar plexus. And then it continues down to our feet, to the earth, to the core of the earth, feel that anchor in our Mother Earth with all her love and wisdom, and have that energy come loop around and come back to our solar plexus. And take a deep breath. And let that energy surround us and go out into the world, coming back into us. Feel that lovely feeling of being grounded as a child of the stars and connected to this beautiful planet. And love and light. Add in that feeling of love and light. Whew. And release. Very nice. Again, you can do this with us live, and you can do it in the archives. And again, a balanced person makes for a better world. So I suggest it highly. So we have two callers waiting, but let's get a little bit into the retrograde for a minute, and then we'll take a caller, and then we'll keep going. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Great. So for those of you that know or don't know, Mercury retrograde happens about 3 times a year and usually lasts about 3 weeks. And it's the time when Mercury looks like it's going backwards because of its configuration with the other planets. And Mercury is the sign of communication. So this is the time when wars get started sometimes and people have trouble communicating with each other or themselves. Technology definitely has its ups and downs and it's all over the place and quirks. And any kind of contracts or things that you want to be permanent, you can move forward during Mercury retrograde, but definitely relaxing into it, taking your time going into it, and knowing that you may, whatever you do, you may have to end up doing it again. So I look at it as a time, it's a little solar vacation, a solar cosmic vacation for ourselves, where we have to, it can be a staycation at home where you clean out either your surroundings around you or within, and also it's all the rewords. It's relax, rejuvenate, rethink, anything that you can come up with as a reword is the right energy to be in Mercury retrograde. And if you were born during Mercury retrograde, you have a special connection with it. Diana and I did some research today. We found an astrologer called Jan Spiller, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was very interesting, like about her about how being born in Mercury retrograde kind of taps into some past life things. You can find out on the internet just by Googling when Mercury is in retrograde. You can come up with some charts and stuff to figure out when. If, you know, during your year that of your birth, you know, was Mercury in retrograde at the time. So we actually looked at both up, and Nicole and I are born in the same year, just almost 30 days apart. So Mercury was direct when I was born, but it just went retrograde when Nicole was born. So we looked into how that makes when Mercury goes retrograde, how it affects us differently. And do you want to talk a little bit about how it affects you being a Mercury retrograde baby?
Yeah, well, I used to have a lot of trouble with it. And then I heard that if you were born during it, you should be good at it. And I was like, why am I not good at this? You know, I have the same reaction that a lot of people have, which is, oh, crap, nothing's going to work right. This is going to be a mess, right? But it's really, with a little looking into it, it doesn't have to be that for anybody. But what Jan was saying was that people that are born during a Mercury retrograde are actually always in a Mercury retrograde. And then, so they're always a little bit different. They're always thinking things a little bit, you know, to the side or wherever they are. And then when Mercury goes retrograde, it actually feels comfortable and like home. And I think that definitely takes some looking at it to feel that. But it's an interesting way of looking at it, that it's, you know, if you're a jigsaw type of a person, then it makes sense as an artist that you're going to feel these funky things, you know, like when you communicate with anybody. And you feel this thing of am I communicating correctly or not? So I don't know if that was a good
explanation. What I thought should be interesting, yeah, no, and that was really good. And what I thought was really cool about it, what she was saying about Mercury retrograde babies, is that in past lives, typically a Mercury retrograde person born in that time frame lived a past life that they were unable to express the way that they were feeling. So they were either living a life that was almost not true to them. So they were living under someone else's rules and had to go abide by, you know, imagine if you were fighting in a war that wasn't your war. Or imagine if you were fighting in, you know, living in a household and you were completely repressed and you couldn't express the way you wanted. You couldn't dress the way you wanted. You couldn't speak the way that you wanted. And typically people like that choose a time to be reborn where they can not only communicate better, because I think that people born under Mercury retrograde end up being better communicators than the rest of us, because what they have to do is they have to use their whole body, from their gut to their expressions and their all their chakras and their whole energy, to get out regular communications during the time when Mercury is direct, which is most of the time. So they become much better communicators in this present life that you're in. So that's kind of the way that I interpreted it with her. So it is kind of like, almost like you're pedaling really, like really hard, like almost underwater during the time that when Mercury is going direct. And then once it goes into retrograde, you're like, oh, okay, and this is what I need, and this is the way that things are going. And I wouldn't be surprised that some of your best writing comes out during this time, and your best creative thinking is, because you end up being better communicators because of the time frame and that you were born in.
Good explanation. Yeah. That's great. Go ahead.
But Mercury retrograde for me, although I wasn't born in Mercury retrograde, I've been in the communications industry my whole life, and I've been literally in the communications industry, working for communications on the phone, in that whole field forever. And I always knew, without anybody telling me, without any kind of, signal, when Mercury went direct, because, I was in the phone world, and the phones would break. And, all the communication would break down, internet would break down, printing machines would break down, everything would just break down. And I was in a field where we had to get a lot of contracts signed. And typically during this time frame, a contract would be signed, it would be fantastic, it would be going well, and then it would always have to go into constant revision. So I never enjoyed Mercury retrograde, and it stinks. I'm just waiting for the microwave to break or the computer to break it's not the time to fall in love.
It's a house cleaning. It's definitely, it takes patience. I'm feeling these callers, so I'd like to take one of them. I don't know area code is. It's 1111111, but your mic is open, so start talking.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
What's your name?
Sorry, I sound terrible, but I have a miserable cold all of a sudden.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I guess that's that time of year.
I've heard.
So what's your name?
Sandra, and I'm from New York.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
So tell us.
So what sign are you, since we're talking astrology?
Oh, I'm a Pisces with a Taurus rising, Leo moon.
All right. And a Leo moon?
Yes. And I have to say, I definitely felt the eclipse. This full moon is pretty intense for me.
Did anything happen?
A lot of us.
I just felt extremely, I felt very emotional and just pretty unbalanced, not very grounded. It's like, every couple of moons I get, to feel that way. That ultra sensitivity, and just had tons of, I've always been a very avid dreamer, and I've just been having really terrible nightmares lately. Some of them kind of coincide with the moon, and just, a bunch of awful things.
You're not the only person who has nightmares during full moons. It's an interesting aspect of a full moon. I know that it definitely happens. I had one this morning, and my daughter had one the other night. So, and it doesn't, it's a harvest moon, so there's just a lot of that energy of, that fear going on and stuff like that.
So what do you do, Sandra, when these things happen? Like, what are your, you know, exercises that you do with yourself to make you feel better?
Well, normally I would probably meditate and take a little bit more time for myself. Right now with me just being sick, I'm kind of like off my game a little bit. But I do try to, like, get a little bit more in touch with myself, take some time to meditate, take some time to ground. Fortunate enough to live across the street from the beach, so at times I'll walk, you know, barefoot on there, try to get a little bit, you know, my feet in the water.
Nice.
And that usually works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm kind of stuck in-house. Not feeling
well,
so hot.
Well, that's fine because, you know, with this retrograde on top of it, and it really was an emotional storm, and it's also a time when, you know, full moon, everything is expanded, so you're not only feeling your own emotions going, but the world, the planet, people around you, whether you know them or not. So it can be a definite big rush of all of this. And then with Mercury retrograde, the communication with yourself and the outside world, I mean, I definitely feel it's a time to relax and be inside. So it's kind of like your body did you a favor by going, all right, we're just going to sit this one out and be sick so you don't even think about doing too much. So that's great, actually. Perfect time for a cold.
Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this is so strange. Like, I haven't had a cold in years. Mm-hmm. So I really thought about it. I was like, I was just thinking about it. Like, when was the last time I had a cold? It had to have been years ago. So it kind of did work out interestingly enough with the moon and Mercury retrograde. But I was really trying to find out from you ladies based, I guess, I don't know if this would work off of charts or whatnot, but I've been kind of feeling like my energy has been zapped for, I'd say, a good year. And I don't know if there's anything that you could tell or know why that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know what I could do for you? Like, not so much astrology, Sandra, but I would be happy to pick a couple cards for you. I know that we have a very similar connection. I'm a Pisces as well.
Okay.
I have a Taurus and my moon, so we have that, you know, water-earth connection. And I also have Leo as my ascendant. So it's funny
interesting.
That we have
so it's
similar,
like opposite. Yeah.
Yeah, similar qualities here, but not quite.
Yeah. Have you felt like a typical Pisces when you think about it?
You know, it's funny because I've always fit right into the mold of Pisces, without a doubt. But there was a time in my teenage to early 20s where being on the cusp of Pisces and Aquarian, I was always wondered if I leaned towards Aquarian, if I had air qualities, because I was a smart kid, I all A's in school, things like that. And so I was just kind of torn. And until I actually did some reading on astrology and realized that, you know, there is a line, it is a footprint. It's like a, you know, you're born under a sign. And whenever I tried to put it into the Aries, I mean, into Aquarian world, it never really fit. So I always, from a little kid, I did feel that mutable, emotional. I was always the emotional child, and I can always feel things. And as developing my psychic ability, it was a lot easier to tap into emotions. I can be with people. I can sense their energy.
At times.
My daughter laughs at me because I'm constantly crying at commercials as opposed to my own life. Because as a Pisces being the last sign in the zodiac, we've kind of experienced everything. So it doesn't really faze me if I'm this or that or that. You know, I've been through it. I'll go through it again. It's fine. But if someone else goes through it, I'm like, oh, I feel your pain. Oh, my God, you know, and the tears and everything or the joy, you know, vice versa. So I can... you know, we definitely become empaths in a lot of ways, being Pisces. And being very, you know, psychic and just knowing things that are going to happen and being dreamers and
yeah.
very in tune with spirit. So
I'll tell you this also. Before Diane picks a card for you, you know, this year has definitely energetically been quite a washing machine, a pounder, a storm. I mean, it really, a lot of people have felt this kind of energy happening this year. So, and especially if you're in tune and you're a Pisces, you know, you're used to going with your two fish pointing in opposite directions. So you're a little back and forth. So you're riding the wave just like everyone else. And I think part of what will bring your energy back is just knowing that the energy is a little wacky out there right now. And,
yeah.
and everyone's going to have to ride with it. And the second thing also is juicing. I started juicing, and I've done it before, but within 2 days, and I went easy breezy. I mean, didn't stop eating or, you know, drinking wine or whatever. I just had carrot and celery twice a day. And by the second day, I felt so much more energy. So the earth is trying to help us right now. And
yeah,
so if you can get
I did the juicing thing too. I found it to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't do anything like lightheartedly, though. Whenever I do anything, it seems to be more kind of on the Taurus end, like full force.
Wow.
So I did a 21-day juice fast, and it's incredible. I mean, now when I actually smell like vegetables, I get such a high, you know, such reminiscence of that juicing experience, and it's so positive for me. I love it. But
I'd recommend too, like what I do is I do the juicing as well, and I throw kale in and, you know, and then some veggies and fruits to make it a little sweeter. But I also throw in a little ginger, and ginger helps you develop your psychic abilities as well. It's really good for
Yeah, I love the ginger in there. I had a little mix. I had like one sweet a day, and then the rest of it was like pretty hearty greens because I'm just one of those people that like, you know, greens. I like things that taste like the earth, so I can kind of get away with that. But,
Yeah,
there's so many great flavors that you can mix, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I did pull
tell
a
her,
because
we have a couple people waiting, so go ahead.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Just super quick, what came up was this person, the King of Pentacles. It came up twice when I was pulling cards around you. Do you work, Sandra, because this is in a working atmosphere, and it seems like there's a very dominant male figurehead that can be almost a little too much for you at this point.
No, I'm not working. I'm in between.
Okay.
So.
Was it something in the past, though? I mean, just like I'm looking at something where you're feeling jilted or left out and having to leave someplace because not so much leave someplace, but there is this dominant energy around a workplace. Maybe it's even trying to get work and feeling like not being able to get out and guarded.
Well, there was a work relationship years back. I can't say it was the most positive thing, but it did definitely teach me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that, you know, that could tie into that person, but I honestly don't even think of him. So, but, you know, that doesn't mean he ain't stuck in my energy somewhere.
Yeah, it's trying to remove from that energy, and what card that comes out the most about it is building up your defensive mechanisms. As a Pisces, I think that you can be very prone to getting in touch with too many things and too much energy, and you really need to work on your defensive psychic abilities right now.
Okay.
And maybe with the full moon and knowing that you've been affected by the full moon at this point, the card that comes up the most is the Nine of Wands, which is putting into action some sort of defense around you. So in your meditations, do the visualization that Nicole recommended, you know, protection, healing, the white light. The walk on the beaches is exactly what you need because you're connecting with your Pisces self, you know, and things will work out. Like you said, like you know, what's going to go on this year, what's happening. I think you're just getting into a new frame of thought, but I don't see anything around you that would lead me to believe that it was anything other than just mental stuff, like getting caught in your own head.
Yeah, so I just do that.
Kind of have to, yeah, and just kind of let that go, build a little defense around it, and maybe do some volunteer work. Get out of yourself and head out to help somebody else, and you'll feel a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, that usually does work for me. Thank you, ladies, both. I very much appreciate it.
Thank
God
you.
God bless.
Have a great
care.
Evening.
Blessings to you. Yes. Wonderful.
Bye now.
Bye. So I've been talking with the googly girl here. She's got a child who was born 5/5/5, and she herself has all kinds of Gemini in sun, moon, and Mercury. So she's like all different people.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So I'll say Gemini is definitely one of the fastest moving mental signs out there. You have your judge, jury, and also executioner, you have all the two sides. And a sun and a moon, that means everything that you're saying and you're really feeling in your sun sign is also being really felt, you know, by your feminine side, your internal side. So there's a lot of thinking happening. So I would say any kind of relaxation and any kind of activity you can do, like I'm seeing like Zen gardens and gardening, anything that gets you to do something, a task that occupies your body so that your mind, that's a good meditation, so that your mind can expand and move through what it needs to do, and then you can make some consolidated decisions, because that's a lot of people talking. So, and with the 5/5/5 child, I mean, the best way is to let the child show you how to go. And if she's, I mean, she's definitely a star child, obviously, and so many that are born now and in that period, like, you know, they're definitely tuned in. And if you come in with a 5/5/5, I always thought of also as the number of opulence, you know, a lot of sort of king, queen, god, goddess energy in a five. And what is five in the tarot, Di?
It's conflict, typically. And there's in a lot of the things that in the actual, it's the hero sense as far as the major arcana. So that's kind of like coming into, it's like a, what I see is it represents religion and then, you know, coming into your idealistic, because you go from the fool, which is the beginning of your journey, the magician, which is, you know, creation in yourself, then the emperor, then the empress, dealing with the male and masculine energy, feminine energy, and the hierophant, which is the spirit or the element of, you know, your religion and whatnot and how you relate with that. What she's going to find, too, is, you know, 5/5/5, that's May 5th, right? Does that fall under Taurus?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that under, yeah. But typically, Taurus is a fantastic energy, great workhorses. They're awesome as far as getting things done. So whatever kind of ideas that this Gemini is going to come up with, she now has a child that will bring action to those ideas. So they're very great together. I think this is a great symbiotic, like, relationship that you know, the god or goddesses has brought to this person to help bring action to all these fascinating ideas that come through as a Gemini all over the place. You know, they just a lot of air qualities, a lot of breezy ideas, because, you know, the air is the intellect and thoughts and creativity, and if you get caught up in that, you may not get anything done. So now you have this child to anchor you, which is fantastic. Great, great combination here going on.
Nice. Yeah, she said she swears like she's my best friend at school. Yeah, you can feel it. It's a wonderful, just follow both of your inner guidance, and it'll be a blossoming of a beautiful human being over there for sure, googly girl. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely share the ideas with the child, because she'll get them done. You know, if you have a great idea, let her run with it. She'll know how to, you know, get it to work.
Cool. So that's interesting. Yeah, you're very welcome. So Miki 4144 has been holding quite a while. Hello, okay. Michi.
Miche.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You know what's so interesting is that I'm actually Googly Girl in the chat room.
Oh, wow. Googly Girl. Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Googling. Did we answer your question?
Yes, you made me feel really good. I always knew that with her birth date, something had to be special about her. I just didn't know what or how to go about it. And, you know, it's really funny because it wasn't until she was maybe about 3 or 4 that I realized that her birthday is 5'5", and my birthday is 6'5". So I just hope we don't bump heads. But, yeah, she's all of those things you mentioned, she is totally, totally, like, 8 going 28. So.
Well, you're going to bump heads because, you know, Taurus is the bull and bulls will be bulls. And, you know, just like Ram, Aries will be Rams. And Gemini are going to be really quick. So you're really the best one for a Taurus. So she's going to ram her head into things. And sometimes it's going to be you, but you're just going to have to stay a step ahead in terms of guidance and just, all right, let's keep the energy, relax. You know what you can do.
I was also thinking Gemini with Taurus, it's not even so much that you need to relax as well, but like you could be the red cape that guides the bull.
Mm.
You know when you're at the bullfight and you have the turtle with the red cape, that excitement and that energy guides the bull around the arena. So they're attracted to that incredible energy. So it's kind of like the breezy, airy Gemini can wake the calm, earthy Taurus to an exciting world that they don't necessarily, wouldn't always have. I mean, they're very stable. And Gemini can direct their talents because you're full of energy. So you can add the fantasy into her life,
mm-hmm.
and you can add the joy, and you can add all of that, and she can add the grounding into your life. So
she's totally grounded me.
She has two
older brothers. She's 6 years younger than my youngest son, and like having her literally, I totally grounded me. I was still just, you know, kind of a wild Gemini with my boys, but when I had my girl, she totally just stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
With my chart, I'm 6'5", 7'8", and my birth time is 1927 or 1926. And I did my chart, and I've done it dozens of times, you know, for years. And always I have Gemini in my sun, moon, and Mercury.
Oh.
And
I say
you're
that
a communicator.
I say that in love because my mom's a Gemini. And I know how they can just get on something and they can philosophize the crap out of something.
That is
so having triple that energy, you'd be the best debate person and the greatest person to have. Like, I want you at my dinner party because you could talk to everybody and you could see everyone's point of view and you could add 10 million more of your own.
Yes.
So you're fantastic energy with the Gemini all over you. That's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It just drives me crazy sometimes. And I don't know if you guys are doing charts exactly, but this friend who read my chart, she's also into astrology. She also told me, she said, yeah, you're going to have problems with transportation. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, she said, just seems like you're just going to have issues with transportation. And I swear, like, every time I get a car, something happens to it.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, do a little prayer
well,
to the gods of transportation. You know, you can make peace with things like that. I used to have a problem with time, and I just did a little prayer to the time gods, you know, to chill out on that. So try that. I'm curious.
I will.
Go ahead, Di, finish
too.
Up.
And one of the, and some of the cusps that we deal with and some of the houses that we deal with, have like R4 like journeying and, you know, money and personality and like, you know, just where we are in our status. So she may have been reading something in specific to your chart that would affect your ability to move around.
Okay. Well, so. I managed to lose one car and I get another one. It's never really hard.
Nice flow. Go with it. Great.
Well, at least you
well,
can
blessings.
Change a tire if you need to. So.
Thank you. Could you pull a card for me, I guess?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Thank you. I was just wondering about, I don't know, relationships. There's a guy that I think he's interested in me, but, like, he's there and he's not. He'll call or text and he won't, and it's confusing.
You know what?
It's frustrating.
Can you hold on until, like, the other end of the show? Like, can you listen in for the whole show and then
oh,
we can
sure.
pull a card at the very end? Because we still have some people waiting, and but definitely. Do you mind, Di, hanging on for that?
Not at all.
Cool. Yeah, I just wanted to say before we take the next caller that just in general, your sun sign is generally, you know, what you chose to come in on. It's going to be the basic stuff that you're looking to do from this point of view. And then the moon sign is your inner emotions, your inner self. It's also the feminine self and, you know, where things get a little deep. And other people may not see you like that, but you will identify with it. You can look up, you know, moon in whatever your sign is. And it's very different from if you were a sun sign, that sign. And if you have both, then you can combine them. And then the rising sign is how you seem to other people, like the pea fish girl. Is a Gemini rising. So you guys were talking about Gemini, and I said this is what you sound like, what you seem like to other people. It's your outer persona. And it's not that it's a lie, but it's also like the mask and what you put out there combined with what's going on inside and in general. So if you really want to know someone, if you look at those three, you will get a very descriptive idea of what this person is. And for the rising sign, it changes. You kind of need the hour, but for the moon sign, you just need the date. So you can look it up on any chart online. So you can really understand somebody. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's a real quickie astrology lesson. So I was thinking to take the next caller, unless you have anything to add, Di.
No, we can definitely move on to the next caller. That's great.
Cool. All right, so we have 720. You are on the air.
Hi, I'm Francine from Denver, and I don't know what information you need. Is that just birth date, 824?
Well, we don't really do charts, but
oh, I don't know what
answer. Whatever. We can answer any kind of question you have, like about, you know, your sign or what would you like to know?
Well, I'm Virgo. I don't know what you see for me. I was out of a recent relationship. I mean, whatever comes through with someone kind of off and on, the kind of the same as what she was saying. So I don't know if you want to pull a card. You guys decide.
Mm. Well, Virgo right now with relationships is very interesting. Like, if you're in one, just, you know, see what happens, because this is, you guys are very analytical and you like to know all the facts and more. So in terms of relationships, you're going through a lot of transitions right now. I've noticed, I don't know why, but Virgo's definitely, well, I guess you're just working it out in a very Virgo kind of a way. Like, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. I mean, this relationship, is it, so should I just leave it or should I pick it up? Is it because, you know, that's what I'm sensing, whether I, you know what I mean? Because I do see that there is a going on, and I don't know if I'm amplifying things.
You probably are.
Francine,
go ahead.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Francine. So you're in a relationship right now that's kind of shaky, or you're trying to decide whether it's worth moving forward?
Yeah, whether it's worth even moving forward in with. You know, it's kind of off and on. We've tried it, but we get into those, like she says, those little analytical stats kind of thing.
And what is his sign? Your Virgo, do you know what his sign
he's
is?
He's June 28th. I don't know the sign, but I just know his birthday is June 28th.
Okay, I'll get the sign for you.
Yeah, June 28th is Cancer.
Okay.
June into July, yeah.
What I find to be really interesting about this particular combination is, when I look at astrology, the first thing that I think of, and part of the thing that we were going to talk about with the astrology program, it's not so much determine whether people are good or bad or this or that, but like when I work with astrology, I really immediately think of the elements. There are three core signs, you know, fire, earth, air, and water. And within each element, there is a beginning sign, like kind of like the baby of the sign, you're just coming in to, you're just being born into that sign, so you're learning a little bit about that. For instance, in the fire category, the first sign is Aries. So Aries are full of energy, and they are just deciding to, like, you know, everything is brand new to them. As the sign matures and gets to,
sure, when I'm dying.
It matures into like kind of like a midlife range. That would be the next sign, which would be Leo, and then the sign after that would be Sagittarius, which would be the end of the life of that sign. And they know how to control and rule the sign and everything like that. So I think of the elements and the qualities of the elements, and what I'm thinking about with Virgo and Cancer is earth and water, and sometimes what that makes is mud. And sometimes when you're trying to make a relationship work where one sign is not helping the other, you're trudging through the mud. Cancer is extremely loving and emotional.
Wow. There might be somebody else talking here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But a Cancer male can actually be a little bit too emotional for you as a Virgo woman who needs a little perfectionism in her life.
Your mom.
And does that make sense?
Who keeps interfering? I don't know. I can't. Someone keeps overshadowing you. Can you put them on?
Yeah,
is there
I'm
someone
trying.
We could throw on mute?
Yeah, I just did. I had a circling wheel, so is it Mercury retrograde right there?
Oh, okay.
Like, hang on.
That's that's Mercury retrograde right there.
So I just moved it.
So is that good? Not, so should I go ahead? I mean, it's not, sometimes I don't think it's not, again, not him. I just think it may be me addressing.
Virgos? As a sign, Virgos aren't like the best in love and romance because you have a shyness quality about you, and you also have a need for perfection. And it's like difficult, you're a difficult person to love, even if you have someone who's very loving. So some of the best signs that I find to go with the Virgos are, I would have to say, probably like a fire sign or an air sign, maybe an air sign, because it keeps you elevated and full of thought and things like that. Like an earth sign with an earth sign would be fantastic for you. But with astrology, you
so
don't
do you feel
want...
it's a no or leave it?
I feel like it's
I mean,
gonna...
I guess I'm looking for like a yes or no, like, go or no.
I feel honestly like this particular relationship for you is you're never going to find what you're looking for in it. Like, I think that it's not exactly what you're looking for. Like, I think there's certain aspects about it that are okay for you, but it's not fulfilling a full need. And I think the more you try to trudge on with that, it's not going to be happy. Like, he may fulfill one area in your life. Like, the sex may be amazing, but how is he talking to you on an intellectual level? That kind of thing.
Right.
And the Virgo really needs to have somebody who can encourage them intellectually and get you out of yourself. And so, you know, you may be physically compatible, but this particular relationship with Cancer and Virgo, Cancers can literally sit back and let you do all the work. And
that's the problem.
I wouldn't want you to settle for less. And I don't want astrology to rule your decisions, but help you make decisions, help you make accurate and wise decisions. And there's an expression.
Well, you're validating me, so thank you. Don't feel like you're imposing your will, you know.
You know, I mean, you don't just walk up to someone and say, well, I'm a water sign and you're an earth sign, so I'm not going to go with you, whatever. But you want to, like,
have a drink, you know, or dinner.
Yeah, take it back to my place for a little one. But after that, I don't know if it's going to go on.
We just, you know, after this, don't expect anything from me. You know?
I think you need to find yourself nice Taurus and or Capricorn, someone who can really keep your engine running, but also be like, you know, keep you intellectually stimulated. I just that needs to happen as well. So, good luck. Okay, Brucey.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Cool. Good advice. So I'd like to take the next caller. I'm pretty sure it's Fish Girl, the 732, but I've got the spinning wheel again.
Spinning wheel, girl. Come on the phone.
Amazing. Wow, that's incredible. So interesting. I was thinking, you know, for people to look up their Mercury sign, I think, would be very helpful in general, especially during a Mercury retrograde, to see what sign you are in Mercury, because then you'll see a little better how you'll deal with this time and what your communication is like. Ooh, I think, is it going to work? Maybe? Spinning wheel. Hold on. So
my Mercury. Do you know what your Mercury is, Nicole?
I'm pretty sure it's an Aries.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your communication.
Yeah.
That's the sign of communication. So you actually have really good energy and fire and excitement and, you know, the capability to come up with brand new ideas around Mercury. Which is great. Mine is in Pisces, so I communicate on a much more intuitive level, like psychically, so that enhances my psychic ability. So when Mercury is direct, when it's retrograde, my psychic ability is not as strong as it is if it's moving forward, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, which I can believe completely.
Yeah, and also to learn the elements is a helpful thing, since there's, three of each, of water, air, fire and earth. And so to know those elementals of, you know, fire, water, for instance, you know, you have the last sign, the Pisces, that's the fish swimming that just has, like, transcended water, really, and can go in any direction, as opposed to the Scorpio, which is known as the deep ocean. So if you've ever known a Scorpio, I'm sure you've noticed their very deep side, that they can sometimes go so deep that you lose them in the depths of the ocean, you know, where they pull out some incredible, God knows what. I mean, they're also known for the Scorpio sting, for the revenge. But, you know, that can also be their playful side. You know, they pull out these things from God knows where, very creative as well. And then the first water, which is Cancer. So that's the feminine moon energy. It's the moving sideways, the crab that likes its shell and likes to have the home. The home is very important with Cancers. They have to feel like they have a place where they can be protected and comfortable. Otherwise, they get a little wacky in the head, and especially also if you have Cancer in your moon, you definitely need to have a sanctuary, some place in your home where you can go and be still. So
as far as astrology goes too, what I wanted to mention, other than the elements, I mean, we start with the elements, and then we have a quality, and every sign has a quality. It's either cardinal, fixed, or mutable. And the cardinal kind of is the beginning of the sign, and then the fix is that it's actually going to stay at that sign. So the cardinal is the beginning realm of it. And then the mutable, like you said, with Pisces, it's interchangeable. Like the quality mutable is the same. It's what you can think of, it's changing. So you have the beginning, you have a fix, and then a changing. So every sign has an element. So it'd be fire or earth or water or air. They have a quality, whether it's cardinal, fixed, or mutable, and they have a ruling planet, and they have a symbol. So these are the things that we look at, like, first of all. And then, like, then when you're looking at an astrological chart, you have a lot of charts developed for yourself. And it's fun to look at astrology to see what your sun sign is. That's where we all start. I'm a Pisces, so I look into Pisces. Am I like a Pisces? Am I this and that and the other thing? But then you have your planets, and your planets, the ones that are closest to the sun, represent your inner self. And as you move away from the sun, they're the first sun, like the first, it's the inner planets, the light planets. The sun, the earth, the moon, those are like your closest to who you are. Then you get the personal planets, you know, your Mercury and everything like that. Those are how you deal with your social aspects of life and how you're dealing with people and relationships at work, things like that. Then you get to your outer planets, and the outer planets being like Neptune and whatnot. Those kind of our impersonal planets and transpersonal planets. And the transpersonal planets, the ones that are furthest away from us, those deal with the dark side of us. And it's really interesting to see how what your sign is in those planets, to see how you actually cope with your dark side. So you can really get an accurate picture of who you are by looking at not only what sun you were born under, but each planet has qualities that you look into and say, oh, you know, my Neptune is in Pisces. Well, a Neptune is going to represent particular aspects of how you deal with a certain thing, and because it's in a certain sign means something. You know what I mean? So as you piece yourself together, you will find that this is actually a science more so than it is guesswork. And the more research that you do on yourself and your friends, you can become a very, very good astrologer. So I love the fact that astrology is so in-depth and it's such an amazing science. It goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we just can keep learning from it and, you know, take time to read up on yourself, and then you could start predicting for yourselves and your friends based on what's going on today and what will be coming up when the moon goes into certain aspects and how it affects you.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say that Stacy Fish Girl, I'm doing everything I can to get you on. I've got a whole spinning wheel stop script, another spinning wheel. So let's see if it frees itself up. But also to look at astrology as our map of what we came in to do. I mean, nothing's an accident, and so wherever we came, also from the first sign to the last sign, is where you are in a journey, an allotted journey. So, like, for instance, Diane, being a Pisces, is at the end of a cycle journey, and I've just started a new one being an Aries. So that's an interesting concept to work in, as well as, you know, you can really take going to an astrologer is wonderful, and somebody that sees these charts and maps, like, you know, they see them like they might as well be written out in sentences, is a wonderful thing for sure. We actually have a wonderful astrologer on Kirby Monsters Network. She does a show on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Her name is Joni Ross. You can look her up on Facebook, and she's really great. But you can also look at your own, and you can get these free ones online and, you know, do a little bit of research. All right, what does this planet mean? I have this planet and this sign, so what does this planet mean? And you can see, you know, how these things really work into your personality. But I think to start with those first three, the sun, the moon, and the rising, are great. And also, if you want to look at love, it's where Venus and Mars are. Your Venus is the female side of the love side of you, and Mars is the male side of the love, and also can be more same thing.
Yep, those are the personal planets, and they just basically, you know, that's your experience. That's who you are. You know, that's yourself. Those are your longings, your why we breathe, why we eat, why we sleep. Those are our basic instincts and stuff like that. Jupiter and Saturn are our social planets. So Jupiter gives us the urge for expansion. It's a feminine. It's the gatherer. And Saturn is the urge for certainty, to build strength. It's the masculine. And then we have the other planets that I was talking about, the transpersonal ones, like the Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. You know, there's different masculine and feminine energies, things like that. So.
Cool. Well, I don't know what to do with this crazy internet. I mean, you know, I don't know why I'm surprised, being that it's the first day of Mercury retrograde. I mean, it's just like it's like clockwork. My friend Alex always says, "All right, Nicole, my stuff is all messed up, and don't tell me it's Mercury retrograde." And I'll tell you, 8 times out of 10 when he asks me that, it is. And he thinks I'm making it up, but it's just, sorry, dude. That's what's going on. Like, I've never had this happen. My whole thing looks like a war zone. And it says somebody typing. She's been typing for 20 minutes. I have no idea what they're saying, and I can't unmute Michelle either. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to
get going. I wanted to give a special thanks tonight for my little witch Maggie, who helped with my setting up for my show down here in Boston. She lit all the candles associated to the different elements, so I would stay focused on our astrological conversation. I just wanted to give her a little shout out. but she brought in all the elements. She brought in my shells for my for the water. She brought in the feathers for the air. She brought in fire, so she lit candles, and she brought in earth. So love her. She's very supportive in these actions and endeavors. So she's a Sag, always seeking the truth.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, thank you for staying focused, because I have to say, a few times I was a little like, what's happening on the computer? So thank you, everyone. Love and light. Call back next week. We will pick a card for you, Miche, and love you all. And we'll see what we're going to talk about next week. Maybe we'll continue on. Let's see. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.